If you want to know what a household, like, actually values, you don't look at their holiday newsletter. You look at their bank statements.
Oh, yeah. That is always the real test.
Right. And the same rule applies to a country, which is exactly what we're looking at today on our deep dive. We're unpacking South Africa's framework on gender-responsive planning, budgeting, monitoring, evaluation, and auditing.
Which, I mean, I know that is a massive title, but it essentially means we're looking at how a government is trying to rewire its entire financial machinery to fix systemic inequality.
Yeah, because the current system is just, well, it's effectively ignoring reality.
It really is, because right now, the numbers in the source reflect this harsh reality that the traditional budget process just, you know, mostly ignores. I mean, despite having democracy since 1994, 42% of South African women live below the lower bound poverty line.
Wow, 42%.
Yeah, compared to 38% of men. And women own just 17% of the land. But then, when auditors reviewed the government's major medium-term strategic framework, the one from 2014, they found that 65% of its performance indicators were completely gender silent.
Wait, gender silent, meaning those indicators didn't track how policies affected men and women differently. They just treated the whole population as this, like, monolith.
Exactly, just totally blind to it.
But hold on, let me play devil's advocate for a second here. Aren't budgets naturally neutral? I mean, a spreadsheet allocating funds for a paved road or a new hospital, that's just math. How can a spreadsheet be biased?
Well, because a road isn't just concrete, right? It's a route. So if a budget prioritizes, say, multi-lane highways for male-dominated commuter traffic driving to industrial parks, while zero funds go toward rural infrastructure where women are walking miles just to get clean water.
Oh, I see. So that neutral math actually just reinforces the status quo.
Precisely. And that's where the framework introduces the gender results effectiveness scale. It measures whether a policy actually shifts power dynamics. True gender-responsive budgeting isn't about creating some separate women's budget. It is about making sure the main budget actively addresses those differential needs.
Right. So a gender plan policy ignores those differing realities entirely.
Mm-hmm.
To move to, like, gender transformative on that scale, a budget has to actively redirect resources to fix the structural imbalance.
Yeah, like prioritizing that rural water infrastructure over another highway expansion.
Right. But doing that, I mean, that requires some serious institutional muscle.
It really does. And what's fascinating is South Africa actually led the way globally with this back in 1995 with the Women's Budget Initiative.
Oh, wait, really? They already tried this.
They did. But it fell apart, mostly because it was entirely voluntary and run by temporary external consultants. So the second those consultants left,
the government agencies just went right back to business as usual.
Like,
which means a framework is basically useless without teeth. If it's not baked into the mandatory administrative process, it just won't survive the bureaucracy.
Right, which is why this new framework draws on some pretty aggressive international models. Like, take Uganda. Their government agencies legally cannot get their annual budgets approved unless they earn a gender and equity certificate.
Wait, they just block the funding entirely?
Yep. To get that certificate, an agency has to prove to the finance ministry with hard data that their proposed spending will actively reduce gender disparities. If they fail the audit, funding is blocked.
Wow. Now that is structural change.
Yeah. And Morocco took a similar route by legally institutionalizing a gender report within its annual finance bill. It forces every single department to explicitly tie their performance metrics to gender equality goals on public record.
That's incredible. Here's where it gets really interesting to me, because it's the difference between making a vague New Year's resolution to, you know, do better versus signing a legally binding contract with actual financial penalties.
Without those strict enforcement mechanisms built into the financial cycle, accountability is just impossible.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Whether you are reviewing a corporate diversity pledge at your job, voting on a city council budget, or tracking national policies, the lesson is super clear. True priorities only matter when they are funded, tracked, and audited. If there's no money behind the promise, it's just PR.
Definitely. And that brings up a pretty sobering risk outlined in the framework itself. It notes that establishing these system-wide mandatory changes in the public sector takes a minimum of 5 years just to take root.
Just to change the bureaucratic rules of money. Which leaves us with this final thought. If it takes half a decade to simply rewrite the rules of how money is tracked, how long does it take to unravel the deeply entrenched patriarchal norms that those numbers actually represent? Next time an organization tells you what they value, skip the press release. Follow the money.